Hello and welcome to another sidecar episode of Fusion Patrol. A couple weeks ago, Ben and I were discussing the episode Survival from the TV series UFO, and we got diverted onto a topic that had really nothing to do with the episode, but it devolved into a discussion that might be of interest to you. And so here it is.
Listening to the Fusion Patrol podcast.
The only thing I wanted to mention, and I think we probably briefly touched on it, but I mean it's really bad in this particular episode, is, and I know this is British, and I know that, you know, the numbers are very different for 1969 and in terms of, but all the smoking on the moon base drives me absolutely bonkers.
It was socially acceptable at that time.
Okay, it's socially acceptable, but the Apollo astronauts didn't take cigarettes up in their freaking tin can. It's like, that is, it's so this, weird.
You'd be inclined to think that there's a lot of pure oxygen especially on the moon, and you just don't want to light up something in that kind of an atmosphere.
I mean, I've never been a smoker or of that nature, so I've always, but, you know, I was raised in a family with smokers and used to be smokers all over the place. I was alive at that time. I know what it's like. But not on the moon base, for crying out loud. Even as a kid, I knew that was, like, just the nuttiest idea ever. It's like, and it's so, you know, it's so...
I mean, you might as well then just take it a step further and have them, you know, as they put their helmets on before they go out on the spacewalk, to have the cigarette already in their mouth lit.
Yeah, it is
would be strange. Funny. I would like to see that.
Now, one thing that I'll bring up since we're on the topic is, the interesting thing about this is that obviously over the years smoking on television has not entirely disappeared, but it has certainly made a complete retreat in many.
It's become something of a taboo.
And I think part of the argument behind that is it influences, they're trying to not influence children. And, you know, smoking rates have gone down, so in some ways we're winning that war, if indeed you're on that side of the war. But I have to admit, when I watch these shows and my kids are in the room, I'm thinking, you know, here we got all these good old stand-up heroes like Paul Foster and they're just puffing away. Do they take out of that the whole "ooh, smoking's cool" kind of stuff out of it, like it was intended to do? You know, at least in the United States, it was meant to do that. The cigarette companies paid all the studios to make sure that their stars all smoked in the shows. I mean, it was pure advertising. I don't know if they did that in Britain or not, but you know, and not to mention that heroes back then were more black and white. They weren't the flawed heroes that we have now.
No, they were very virtuous.
They're very virtuous heroes, and so they're all virtuous, and they're all smoking away. Now, if you see...
So now I've got, you know, someone like Paul Foster, who not only smokes, but he's bonking his girlfriend in the shower whenever he has leave on Earth. Yeah, that's, you know, great moral values there.
Well, they didn't show that.
Oh, heavens, we're beginning to sound like the Family Research Council.
Well, it's not so the prudish. So, I mean, if you look at a modern hero, you will never, well, never might be the wrong word, but virtually there is nothing analogous to the old-time stand-up TV hero from the 60s. You know, where the guy was just unequivocally a good guy and was all Well, I mean, you know, Captain Kirk used to boink the girls too, and you know,
yeah, Star but Trek they was did it but with great subtlety.
Well, for the most part, I mean, still remember that episode where he was pulling up the boots. That was probably the only one that I really. It's like, wait, he's doing something with these girls. I just thought he was kissing them when I was a kid. But, what did I know? But now no hero is that way. They've all got their flaws because you know no writer worth his salt is going to waste his time on some two-dimensional hero character. He's got to have. You know, some sort of a quirk or a thing. So, you know, if they
really humanize the hero.
Overly yeah. Do so, I think. I think
he's to the point where he becomes now the tortured hero.
I think that there's room in television for the stand-up hero still.
Well, I do too.
That's probably my biggest complaint about any show is that there's very few even approaching the ideal of somebody that you'd watch and you'd go, you know, I want to be like him.
Well, there you could have still your stand-up hero. He could still have his I don't want to use the word tortured, but that's the word that's coming to mind right now. He could still have, you know, those conflicting issues, but whatever they may be, they are what drive him to do virtuous acts so that on the surface, I mean, maybe he does have some conflicts, some problems that reside, you know, in his mind, in his soul, but his actions are driven purely noble acts. I agree. I think there's room for that, and why they just are coming up with these heroes that are flawed in thought. And indeed, and in action, I don't think that necessarily sends a good message.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, there is the argument that says that, you know, it's more realistic because there are few people, if any people, who are that way. That's fine. All right, I can accept that argument. But I can also accept the argument that says it's fiction. They're not real people anyway. And the audience knows that.
Well, you brought up a great example when you brought up Kirk. Now, here is a captain. Let's discount the JJ reboot from the last movie. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the classic series, especially when you go in through the movies, we really see Kirk make some... He makes some bad judgment calls every now and then. But at no point does it take away from him being the stand-up hero that people could look towards and say, as an ideal. And say, I'd like to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
Because through the mistakes, through the missteps, he overcomes them, becomes a better person. And that's a great that's a great message that you're sending. Yeah, that's the kind of hero that I would like to see.
And we are talking about something that's entertainment, not a documentary. Right. So
precisely,
you know, I enjoy that. So anyhow, that's a bit of an aside there, but that was just I was thinking about that when I was watching that on the base at the time, and I said, you know, are they right? Does television really influence? Does television really influence the children in the way that...
Well, they must have thought it at one point because, as we know, in American, on regular American television, I mean, smoking was, for the most part, banned.
Well,
it's gone.
It's gone. And for a while, it was interesting because it went through this kind of a retreat. First, it was, you know, heroes smoked, and then only secondary ones. Like, for example, there's some earlier episodes of The $6 Million Man where Oscar Goldman has a cigar. But you never see Steve Austin smoking anything. And as it later went on, then it's only the bad guys who smoke. And then by the time you get into the 80s, you know, they don't. And then along comes Don Johnson and Miami Vice, and, you know, they're turning a different corner. But...
Well, you bring up a good point. I remember, and I'm going to really go off on a very strange tangent, but it's the point is still valid. I was in the movie theater, and I saw a trailer for some – I don't know what the name of the movie is. All I know is that it starred Julia Roberts, and I will always remember the narration pushing this film. And you hear that this is voiceover, and he says, America is having a love affair with Julia Roberts. And, of course, take that for what you will. She just come off doing Pretty Woman, and she was very popular. So there it is. The camera does this pan. She's standing on a sidewalk. It pans up her legs, and then when you get to her face, you see she's lighting up a cigarette right as you hear the line, a love affair with Julia Roberts. And I saw that, and I thought, why, you have just destroyed any kind of admiration, respect, empathy, whatever it is that you're trying to generate your audience viewer to have for your main character. You've just ruined it by that one shot. America's having a love affair with this woman who's lighting up a cancer stick. Okay, I'm preaching. I admit it. But it just felt very strange to do that. And it's like, well, how can I take what you just said seriously after seeing this?
But obviously, if they had made that in the 60s, that would have been...
It would have been entirely
It would have been sultry.
Oh, yeah. It would have been awfully steamy. Especially if she was doing it, you know, with those, you know, like a Tipperilla or something. But the way she was just doing it right there, she's just lighting up a cigarette. I mean, you know, pulls out a lighter, a Bic, and just lights up her cigarette as, you know, as we hear this voiceover. It really diminished her as a character. I mean, right from the trailer, they were trying to build up this ideal about who this person is. I remember that she was supposed to play some nurse or something. So you're trying to...
Oh, even better.
I know. Exactly. So you're trying
She's
to build
up... She's a healthcare worker and she doesn't know to quit. Well, that's precisely. A lot of them are that way, but...
Yeah, I know. So you're trying to build up this ideal for your audience. It would help bring your audience... Yeah, it would help sell tickets. You're gonna be planting butts in those, and no pun intended, but human butts in the seats of those theaters to see this woman that you are putting out there.
Well,
instead, what am I saying? I'm seeing someone light up a cigarette, and you know, let's take away you know whether smoking is good or bad. It looks bad.
Okay, so let's just say that you and I are being a little too prudish. Okay, I'll go on the line there and let's take that for argument, and then say that for the shot that you're talking about, which obviously they probably snagged from the film, you know,
that
whole cloth. So they may not have had a great chance where they were panning up her leg and that was all they had. But let's just go out on the let's take the two polarizing opposite sides. Let's say there's the rabidly anti-smoking people and the rabidly pro-smoking people. That shot, what you're describing, will only alienate anti-smoking people. But if she had not been lighting up a cigarette and they'd panned up at the pro-smoking people, would never have thought about it.
They wouldn't have cared.
They wouldn't have cared. So actually, in terms of their choice, that's...
It's a bad scene.
It can only serve to alienate people. Some small, whatever that percentage happens to be. Alienate some of those people. So it would depend on the year that was made in, because obviously there in the 80s in particular, there was that kind of phase. Like I said, they started with Don Johnson back on TV and Miami Vice, and all of a sudden, you know, the heroes were back in the cigarettes for a while.
This was in the 80s, if I remember right. I think that's when Pretty Woman was like early,
well, I mean, she was a prostitute in that film. I would have expected her to be smoking all the time.
Well, that's different. Yeah. We're talking about that character, but I mean, obviously, in this other film, she's playing it's a different person. And like I said, I think she's playing a healthcare worker.
But she would have gotten along well with Paul Foster. Maybe you could have kept her.
And she would have gotten along with Paul. She would have gotten along with Alex. She would have gotten along with Straker, because they all lit up.
I think there isn't anybody on Moonbase that doesn't, or in chat. I mean, there's nobody in that series that doesn't.
But we saw Mark do it.
Yeah, there's absolutely
We've seen the astronauts.
It's 100% penetration, I'd say, on the staff of of Shadow in that series. And, you know, that's
true. They're also high strung. You have to light up to calm down.
That's true of any, well, not any show of that era. I admit, The Avengers was not that way, but darn near anything else in the
most
60s.
Most
absolutely.
Shows that time.
That
yeah.
was just, you know, as red. Yeah.
And, because it was culturally acceptable.
And I've just always assumed that the British smoked more than we did, because their shows were always much heavier on that. I don't know if that's true, or, you know, debt-ridden after World War II and ration books and all that stuff. Maybe that's all they had. I don't know. But... oh, I'm getting in trouble now. I'm digging a hole.
You've been listening to the Fusion Patrol Podcast, production of Lone Locust Productions. Join us on our new discussion forums at FusionPatrol.com. Find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, username Fusion Patrol. You can also send us feedback by email at feedback@FusionPatrol.com. If you'd like to support Fusion Patrol, please leave us a review on iTunes. Fusion Patrol's theme music is Fight the Future by Amber Wolf.